take your follow-up questions.
The conference is now in talk mode.
Governor, it's Anita Buffoni here with Channel 12. RIDE has issued some guidance online on what the schools can do for alternative graduation plans, including drive-in for your theater ceremonies, which some other states are doing. The rustic drive-in told me they'd be willing to do that. What is your stance on that?
That sounds great. I hadn't heard of that, but that's exactly the kind of creative thing that we need to be in the business of doing. So I'll pass that along to Ryan.
About drive-in theaters during graduation.
Great.
Dr. Alexander, could update the overall nursing home numbers, just how many deaths have been in nursing homes, and could you break it down by nursing homes and congregate care and hospitals, and then I guess everyone else? So this is I know the dashboard has some numbers, but do you have a specific breakdown?
So the deaths in congregate living settings among residents is approximately 200.
That's
for nursing homes. The congregate care settings that include psychiatric, group homes, senior housing is 205. In terms of deaths overall, you know that we have 266, and the number of hospitalized deaths that may overlap is 113.
And so just to be clear, when you say overlap, so some of the hospital deaths could have been people from nursing homes?
Yes. And we have all of the nursing home data online for the specific details people would like.
So the 200.
Go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to be clear. But it's 200 residents from nursing homes. They could have died there or at the hospital. Correct. Thank you.
Dr. Alexander Scott, what are the specific plans for walk-up testing in the most impacted zip codes right now? I know you mentioned Central Falls, but what about Elmwood and other parts of Providence? Is there anything immediately on the horizon?
Yes, we have a very extensive list and a strong team of people working very hard. One of our goals is making sure that we establish a testing system in the communities at highest risk that builds on and leverages the healthcare delivery system that's in place so that it can be sustained for the long term. So that means having conversations with our federally qualified health centers, with clinics, with pharmacies, being as creative as we can to leverage an infrastructure that's going to allow for a sustainable testing model, but be able to continue to be accessed as easily and conveniently as possible by the communities that are disproportionately impacted.
If I could just follow up on that, can we expect to see some of those, whether it's brick and mortar or more tents, whatever it is, can we expect to see some of that before we enter phase one? Is that part of the criteria for entering phase one?
Yes. We are working every day to stand up more and more. Yeah. The entire team focused on that.
Governor, this is Michael Blow from Latif. The courts are scheduled to reopen on May 17th, following, if you're optimistic, reopening on May 9th. Would that leave people vulnerable to evictions, and has there been any effort or consideration as to what to do about people who simply can't pay their rent? I understand that about a third of the people in the country have been unable to pay rent, and the CARES Act provided for a guaranteed 12-month forbearance for people who can't pay mortgages, but as far as I know, did nothing about rent payers.
Yeah, all good questions. So we have a weekly phone call with the heads of the chief judges in the judiciary. I don't want to speak for them, but I think it's quite likely that they will extend the closure beyond May 17th. Separate from that, we are also working on developing some kind of a rental assistance program. I actually hope to have more to say about that tomorrow. Because, it's, you know, like you said, people are struggling to pay their rent. It's also my hope that as we are getting more of our unemployment insurance checks out and our PUA checks out, checks are going to land in people's bank accounts and make it a little easier to pay for their rent.
Has there been any conversation between you and our federal delegation about the next stimulus act doing something about that as they did for home mortgages?
Yes. That's an intention that I know that our CODEL supports. Having said that, I don't want to count on that. So we're going to, like you said, if it's not tomorrow, we're working as hard as we can. If I can't get an announcement out tomorrow, it'll be like Sunday or Monday around some rental assistance program, state run.
All right, thank you, Governor. I'm sure we can wait a couple of days on that.
Governor, it's Elizabeth McNamara, EG News. Can you explain a little more why you decided to cancel a lot of summer activities so early?
Like, what are you talking about?
Maybe parades, things like that. I've heard more pushback after that decision, you know, on social media and to post than I've heard from anything else. People have been generally supportive. So I guess I just wanted to hear from you why you were thinking that. Some people are
upset. Yeah, Governor,
upset.
You see, Elizabeth's right. A lot of people seem to not understand why you had to make decisions now so deep into the summer.
I see. Okay, thank you, both of you. So I had been hearing from a lot of the, organizers of these events. So, for example, Jay Sweet of the Newport Jazz Festival and Folk Festival, as one example, they're calling me saying, Gov, you got to give us some guidance here. We need to know because they're incurring expenses, now. So if there was no chance that we were going to be able to have those events, it wasn't really fair to them to have to, you know, continue to pay bills to set up an event that couldn't happen. And as I said, I think there's a definite chance that smaller weddings could occur, small events could occur, 50 people, 100 people. But there is no way that we're going to be able to have, you know, concert-type events where there's thousands of people all close to each other. And I've been hearing from a lot of the people who run those types of events saying, come on, Gov, you got to give us some guidance. So that's why I chose to do it. I will say, Gillette, for instance, you know, I don't know if anyone on the call was planning to go to a concert in the fall at Gillette, but they've pretty much canceled all their concerts. All big music festivals for the summer all around the country have been canceled. So I don't know. It just felt like I had to give guidance to these business owners.
Governor, on events, this is Ryan Belmore, and following up on Ted and Elizabeth's question, we're hearing from some event organizers say they're submitting plans to your office to see if, for example, Newport Polo has said they have submitted plans to your office for you to review to see if they could still do the things. Are you encouraging event organizers before canceling everything to review it with your office to see if there's any possibility, or do you just not have the resources to do that?
We will definitely do that, absolutely. And as I said, I should make a further announcement because I'm hearing you guys. I mean, for example, one thing we were talking about, the Bristol Parade. I know for sure we cannot have a Bristol Parade with 100,000 people or even 1,000 people. But I also know it's the longest running 4th of July parade ever in history, and of course we will look to do a massively scaled down, you know, version. So I feel so bad. Someone on this call the other day said that they were having a wedding, and I was thinking, well, maybe have the wedding, just do it with 50 people or 50.
That was Ryan, Governor.
Ryan. So I was like, have your wedding, pick your 49 favorite people and have the wedding. But I just know that if you were planning on a 1,000-person concert or festival or something, it isn't going to happen. And there's people now who are incurring bills, signing up vendors and acts to get ready for July and August. And I don't know, I didn't have the heart to let them pay those bills knowing that they weren't going to be able to do it.
Governor, with that being said about beaches, I have a two-pronged question for you. I had a viewer reach out who was kind of concerned about how you mentioned weddings could have 50 people, but beaches, it's unclear what your capacity is on that right now.
So, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that, please, because there's background noise and I can't hear you.
Yeah, a viewer had reached out. She was concerned about capacity at beaches since you had said that you might consider weddings of 50 or more, but then what would that look like for beaches? And then my follow-up on beaches is, with people driving to the beaches, how are you going to ensure that there's not mass chaos of people being turned away if there's, you know, only a certain amount of spots available on the beach?
This is what we have to figure out. Like, this is what makes my job, this is a tough job I have right now. Because there's nothing, I don't know. We're going to have to figure it out together. I didn't make any announcements about beaches. Fortunately, we have some more time. I do know that in Florida, they opened the beaches and too many people went, and then they had to reverse the decision and close the beaches. So, which is, by the way, not at all critical of Florida. It's just evidence of how hard this is. It's just really hard. So we're going to have to do the best we can. Honestly, we'll probably have to, the thing is going to be start really, really slowly and then build up. That's going to be my guiding principle through the whole thing. Start slowly and build up and be flexible. Because if we try something that doesn't work, we'll have to try something else. Nobody's ever done this before. And I'm going to try my best.
Would you consider a virtual platform for people to get
spots? Go ahead with the follow-up. Would we consider a virtual platform for
signing up for a spot at the beach?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. All these things, like an appointment system. Yeah, all this is under consideration. Absolutely.
Governor, would there be a consideration to prohibit out-of-state visitors to state parks and beaches this summer?
I don't know.
Or only New Yorkers?
I don't know. Let me be brutally honest, as I've tried to be from day one. Like, today, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to work 15 hours a day to figure out, how do we shore up our testing system? How do we finalize our contact tracing system? What kind of guidance are we going to give to the first round of retailers who are going to open? How are we going to enforce all these new rules? On and on and on, the elective surgery stuff. Then I'll get to the business later of thinking about beaches. We know that's not in phase one, so we'll get to that. If you have ideas, though, I'm all ears. Truly.
We're getting a lot of questions from individual industries, people in salons, people in restaurants. Obviously, I know there will be announcements there, but what should we be telling them about what to expect? Like, early next week, there'll be PDFs, and you'll stay there on the website during the briefing. When will they sort of see the guidance for
people? Yeah, that's an awesome question. So next week, last week I went through at a high level which are the businesses that could think about a phase one reopening. You know, like retail and certain other businesses. So next week, if you're in phase one, next week you can start to expect much more detail. Maybe pictures, Ted. We're working really hard on that. I can't promise that, but I can promise clear guidance and detailed guidance. Then, probably a week or two after that, we'll start to give guidance for the phase two, and that would be the restaurants and the hairdressers.
We've got about a minute left.
Governor, this is Christian Winters with the Newport Buzz. We literally have dozens and dozens of people, actually more than dozens, hundreds of people fighting on my social media pages with out-of-staters who are basically outright flaunting your quarantine order and saying that they don't care, they're coming to Newport this weekend, and catch them if you can.
What can be done about that?
You know, it's funny, after you asked me that question a week ago, I checked in with the state police and we checked in with the Newport police. We are stopping many, many people. They all represent that, and with some proof that they were in quarantine and they're out of quarantine. So if you want to help us out, you can. I don't know, maybe we should check out your social media feed. But it's totally enforceable, and we're trying to enforce it. You should call the Newport police. You can follow up with Jen Bogdan. Any information you give us, we will enforce it.
Well,
Governor, we haven't really seen the decline in total hospitalizations. In fact, we're seeing the revised data. We don't really have a sense of how many asymptomatic people are out there, particularly in certain zip codes. Do you feel like we're in a position where we can move to phase one as scheduled right now?
Yeah. Who was that?
Pardon?
I was wondering who I didn't recognize.
Oh, sorry, Bill Bartholomew, sorry.
Hi, Bill. So, smart question. I do, but I'm not at May 8th, right? So I know that's an unsatisfying answer. I'm going to look at the data every single day between now and May 8th. We are plateauing. So as I said, it's not just a decline. You know, the White House said a decline in 14 days, and that's good guidance. But there's other public health people who are advising me and advising states that say if you're in a long-term plateau, then that's good too. Also, you have to remember, we've been increasing our testing every single day. So obviously you'd see more cases, hospitalizations, it's true. But we're in touch every day with the hospitals, we're in touch every day with the Department of Health. If we stay stable, if we ramp our testing, we have a lot more work to do on the testing. Like we're launching a whole bunch of new walkthrough clinics right now as we speak. So we're going to look at all that data and all those potential hotspots in Central Falls, in Woonsocket, in Newport, in East Providence, all over the south side of Providence. If it looks good in a week, then yes. If it doesn't, and we see data that makes us nervous, then we'll wait another week.
All right, thank
just
you guys.
Follow up, follow up, it's a judgment call, and it stops at your desk, Governor. You're going to assess the data and then make a judgment call, essentially, whether or not you can move to May 8th.
Yes, but I want to emphasize, it's not willy-nilly. I mean, I put out the six different factors that was in the presentation I made a week ago or so ish. There's six different factors. There's data behind every factor. It'll be a consensus. It's not like I sit around and make these decisions on my own. I'll listen to Dr. Scott. She'll call Dr. Burks. You know, it'll be in great consultation. You know, we can talk to the people at Johns Hopkins, talking to the people at Brown, talking to our advisors on our testing committee. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's a judgment call on the basis of all this data, and doing the best we can.
To follow up on enforcement, Governor, how do you see the balance between hard enforcement and soft social pressure? That's really a personal opinion of yours.
Yeah, we're going to need both. I'm a believer in peer pressure, so which is to say, you know, I think that in, let's say, for example, in among hairdressers, I'll just pick on them for half a second, you know, there'll be certain regulations that'll have to be followed. And if you're not followed, there'll be some kind of official punishment, maybe a fine, or we're still working through all that. However, above and beyond that, I'm going to be relying on the hairdressers who are following the rules to put pressure on everyone else, because it's in the good of the whole industry for everybody to be following the rules. I want to say one last thing, and I know we have to wrap up. All these questions around how are you going to know on May 8th? What if you're not there on May 8th? They're very fair questions. And you could say to me, well, if you don't know if we're going to be ready, why did you start talking about it 5 days ago? And the reason is because, And I made that call. That was my decision. and time will tell if it was a good one. I just decided that businesses needed some time to get prepared. I think that this is going to be a huge psychological change. It's a business process change. It's, you know, they're going to have to be getting more masks, thinking about cleaning supplies, thinking about their staff, thinking about how to screen people before they come into the office. So I made a decision to tell people, okay, look, if everything goes well, in 2 weeks, you'll be starting to get back to work. So use these next 2 weeks to get your brain around that and start making plans. There's a very real risk and possibility that when we get there, we're not going to be able to do it because the data won't show that we're, you know, in a good enough place, in which case we'll have to kick it back a week. But I guess I'll end by saying what I've said so many times, I never have a good option. You're all, you try to make the best play of the hand that you've been dealt, and this is a tough hand. So in the interest of sharing with you guys very candidly how I think about things, that's how I thought about it.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you.